Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, District Court or Arbitrator Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 24, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Granite Rock Company v. Teamsters. The questions in this case were the following. 1. Whether the parties' dispute over the ratification date of a collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, that provided for arbitration of certain matters was a matter for the District Court or an arbitrator to resolve, and 2, whether there is a federal common law cause of action under the Labor Management Relations Act, or LMRA, for the international union's alleged tortious interference with the CBA. In a decision delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held that 1, the parties' dispute over the CBA's ratification date was a matter for the district court, not an arbitrator, to resolve, and 2, the Ninth Circuit rightly declined to recognize a new federal common law cause of action under the LMRA for the Teamsters' alleged tortious interference with the CBA. To discuss the case, we have Matthew R. Estabrook, who practiced labor and employment law at Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Estabrook.
This case arises from a lawsuit brought by employer Granite Rock Company, a concrete and building materials manufacturer, against the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and the local union representing its employees. A 1999 collective bargaining agreement between Granite Rock and the local had expired in April 2004. Negotiations on a new agreement had reached an impasse, and on June 9, 2004, local members went on strike in support of its contract demands. Granite Rock and the local reached a new agreement about a month later on July 2, 2004, and the local agreed that its members would return to work on July 5th. The new agreement contained a no-strike provision, but it did not address the union members' liability for strike-related damages during the period between the expiration of the old agreement and the ratification of the new one. So, the local sought a separate back-to-work agreement with Granite Rock that would have held its members harmless for damages incurred during the summer 2004 strike. Granite Rock refused. The Teamsters urged the local not to honor its agreement to return to work without a hold harmless agreement, and when Granite Rock refused again, the Teamsters and the local announced a company-wide strike, and this strike involved hundreds of workers, including members of other Teamster locals. So Granite Rock went to court. First, it brought suit under Section 301 of the Labor Management Relations Act, or LMRA, claiming that the local union, at the instance of the Teamsters, breached the new collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, by continuing its strike, violating the no-strike provision. The local argued that the CBA wasn't in fact ratified on July 2nd, but rather on August 22nd, and therefore the no-strike clause on which Granite Rock was relying provided no basis for its suit. The local made a motion to the district court to send the whole case to arbitration, and the district court granted the motion and sent the issues of breach and damages to the arbitrator, but retained for itself the question of whether and when a contract was formed. And a unanimous jury convened by the district court found that the CBA, and therefore its no-strike provision, was indeed ratified on July 2nd. Next, Granite Rock also amended its complaint to seek damages under a tortious interference with contract theory from the Teamsters for its role in instigating the allegedly unlawful strike. The Teamsters filed a motion to dismiss this claim, arguing that the LMRA did not contemplate a tort theory such as this, and the district court granted the Teamsters' motion. The Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit considered the district court decisions on cross appeals. It affirmed the district court's grant of the Teamsters' motion to dismiss, holding that the LMRA didn't contemplate a tortious interference claim. But the Ninth Circuit reversed the district court on the contract formation issue. It held that the date of the CBA's ratification was not a matter for judicial resolution. The court reasoned that the CBA's arbitration clause clearly covered the strike claims at issue, and that Granite Rock implicitly consented to it by bringing suit under the new CBA, which contained the arbitration clause. The court also sought to give effect to the national policy favoring arbitration that has been articulated by Congress and the courts. So Granite Rock appealed to the Supreme Court. And on the question of whether Section 301A of the LMRA allowed the company to bring a tortious interference claim, the court unanimously held that it did not. Justice Thomas's opinion for the court held that the balance struck between employers and unions and federal statutes is carefully calibrated and ought not to be upset by the courts. The court's authority to create a federal common law of collective bargaining agreements extends only to contract theories and not to tort theories. Finally, Granite Rock also failed to persuade the court that existing remedies were inadequate, in part because the company had not explored all potential remedies. On the contract formation question, the Supreme Court, by a vote of 7-2, reversed the Ninth Circuit and held that the CBA's formation date is appropriately determined by the court rather than an arbitrator. Justice Thomas penned the majority opinion, and Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justice Stevens, wrote a partial dissent about which more later. Justice Thomas's opinion began with first principles of arbitration. Arbitration, he wrote, is strictly a matter of consent. It is a way to resolve those disputes, but only those disputes, that the parties have agreed to submit to it. Accordingly, courts should order arbitration only where the court is satisfied that neither the formation of the party's arbitration agreement nor its enforceability or applicability to the dispute are an issue. Where a party contests either or both of those matters, the court must resolve the disagreement. The majority clarified that, to the extent that opinions in some previous Supreme Court cases do not explicitly describe this analysis, it's only because the enforceability and applicability requirements in those matters were so obviously met that no discussion was needed. Under the framework described by Justice Thomas in the majority opinion, the issues of when the CBA was formed and whether the arbitration clause covered the matters the local union sought to arbitrate required judicial resolution and therefore required the reversal of the Ninth Circuit's decision. Next, the majority disagreed with the Ninth Circuit about the breadth of the arbitration clause at issue. Specifically, Justice Thomas wrote, the ratification date does not fall within the agreement, quote-unquote. That is, the question of whether the CBA was validly ratified on July 2, 2004, a question that concerns the CBA's very existence, cannot fairly be said to arise under the CBA. Third and finally, the majority disagreed that Granite Rock implicitly consented to arbitration of the formation dispute when it sued to enforce the no-strike provision. Justice Thomas's opinion distinguished between, on the one hand, seeking an injunction against the strike so that the underlying dispute could be arbitrated, and on the other hand, consenting to arbitrate the formation date issue. And in any event, it was the local, not Granite Rock, that first raised the ratification issue. So the court reversed the Ninth Circuit, leaving in place the district court's holding that the CBA was ratified on July 2, 2004. Now, as mentioned earlier, Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justice Stevens, drafted a partial dissent. Justice Sotomayor disagreed with the July 2, 2004 ratification date. Notably, she did not appear to disagree with the framework set forth in the majority opinion, or with the majority's view that the court should retain issues of contract formation. She just disagreed with the ratification date. And in this regard, she pointed to the fact that Granite Rock and the local ratified a collective bargaining agreement in December 2004 and made it retroactive to May 2004, which obviously would affect the formation or ratification analysis. The local, however, did not mention this fact until it submitted its merits brief to the Supreme Court, and this is in contravention of the court's rules. So while Justice Sotomayor nonetheless found this fact to be too important to ignore, the majority deemed local's argument to be waived. So again, she did reach a different conclusion as to what the ratification date ought to have been, but she did not appear to disagree with the overall legal holding set forth in the majority opinion, just with the results in this particular case. So this is not a momentous case, but it does help fill in some gaps in the court's jurisprudence regarding the interpretation of CBAs and the application of the national policy in favor of arbitration.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.